سبحان رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قرأ حرفا من كتاب الله فله به حسنة والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ألف لام ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. رواه الترمذي. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whosoever reads one letter of the Book of Allah is credited with one blessing, and one blessing is equal to tenfold the like thereof in its reward. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, and Mim is one letter. The hadith affirms that whereas ordinarily for the purpose of reward, an act as a whole is taken into account, but in the case of the Qur'an, it is not so. Parts also count. Thus, in reading, each letter is counted as one good deed, and the reward of each good deed will be increased 10 times as promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. One who brings a good deed for him will be tenfold the like thereof. 10 times, however, is the minimum increase. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah multiplies the reward for whomsoever He desires. That each letter of the Holy Quran, when read, amounts to a good deed has been illustrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying that Alif Lam Mim is not one letter, but Alif Lam and Mim are 3 separate letters. So it will comprise of 30 blessings. Bayhaqi rahmatullahi alayhi has reported another similar hadith to this portion of the above hadith, which is, I do not say that Bismillah is one letter, but uphold that Ba is one letter, Sin is one letter, and Mim is one letter, i.e. they are all separate letters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. As we are discussing, one roza that we have to keep is of our thoughts also. And in our thoughts, that means evil thoughts, we should avoid them. Thoughts come on their own. And those thoughts that come on their own are not harmful. But as soon as we realize we are thinking of something bad, then we must change our thoughts. And in that also, the effort must not be very hard. Otherwise, we won't succeed. It must be a very light effort. And simply just think about something good, or even something which is not religious, but which is just permissible. Even that, just think, change your thoughts to that. And as thoughts that come, the example is given how to avoid them, how to turn, how to save ourselves from them, ignore them. Like if a dog runs after a person is barking. If you turn around and you face the dog, it wants to come more towards you. If you take a stone and throw at it, it will come more towards you. You ignore it, it gets tired, it goes away. So that is a simple way, the same with thoughts also. Similarly, little children like to tease old people, big people. So if we take offense and we want to chase them and hit them, there is a little anecdote written of Joha, who is an Egyptian comedian, that he had a fruit tree in the front of his house, and he wanted children to eat from that fruit tree. So whenever they would come and start eating, then he would go and chase them away, and then they would come again he would chase them away. Somebody told him that when you want them to eat, then why do you chase them away? He says their nature, their psychology, if you don't chase them, they won't come again. What they enjoy is that I chase them. So then they come again and they just wait till I come out of the house and they run away again and I chase them. If I don't chase them, they won't go away. So just like that, thoughts also, if you ignore them, they'll go away. If you don't ignore them, they'll keep on troubling you. So therefore, a person must just ignore them. That's all. And then you'll see thoughts will go away. Also, our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum, he said, one more wazifa that we have forgotten to mention, very, very effective, very simple, all of it know it, and that is, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. To seek Allah's protection from Shaitan, who is the accursed. And this Hazrat explains the example of this Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali has explained that Shaitan is like the dog of Allah Ta'ala. Like every person, especially wealthy people, people who have something which is valuable, they keep some security. Many cases they keep dogs as security also. And the more wealthier, they keep more vicious dogs. Dogs that are trained very specially. Allah doesn't need any security. But to reach Allah, Allah did not make it just a simple way. That any person who doesn't even desire, he can get to Allah. Allah wants us to prove our sincerity, our genuineness in reaching Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, Allah has kept the dog of Shaitan between us and Allah Ta'ala. That person who will cross this barrier will reach Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, this barrier, Shaitan, the dog of Allah Ta'ala, will keep us away. And that's what he's doing all the time. Various temptations, various things. So we have to get rid of Shaitan. But this dog of Allah Ta'ala is the most vicious. Like any place if you go and there is a dog there, and a very vicious dog, and you try and tackle him yourself in order to get past and get to the owner of the house, to get to the house, that dog in all probability will tear you apart. You won't succeed to fight him. So what you have to do is one thing, get the attention of the owner of the house. In olden days, throw some stones, etc., shout, call out. And nowadays, use your cell phone that I'm here, I'm at the gate. This dog here is not allowing me to come in. He's very vicious. So when the master will come out, he'll just make one sign and the dog will sit down. Or the dog will go to the back. He'll tell him, go to the back. So like that, the minute we tell Allah, our contact, Allah didn't want us to use stones to call on Allah. Allah didn't want us to shout at Allah Ta'ala that Allah must come for our help. We don't need a cell phone. Batteries are gone flat. You are gone out of air time. You haven't got there is no antenna, no reception there. No. All you do is you just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. You make your contact with Allah. Oh Allah, you save me. I want to come to you. This dog is troubling me here. He's putting these various thoughts. The minute you'll do that, Allah will order shaitan. He is under Allah. He is not, na'uzu billah, equal to Allah. He is not a power fighting Allah. Shaitan is also under Allah. So when Allah will tell him, you go to the back. You sit one side. Then no problem. You'll reach Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, these thoughts, Mali Yusuf, So these thoughts, a person, they come in between a person. So anyway, so easy way is just ignore the thoughts. That is one more way. Don't work too hard in ignoring them. Very lightly, you just ignore them and they will come under control. And of course we mentioned, a person has to make dhikrullah in order to gain focus and concentration. And when a person will do this, then easily he will be able to ward off all these evil thoughts. What we were discussing yesterday, that on the one side, azmat of deen, the honor, respect of deen, is an absolute essentiality. Without that, people won't come towards deen till they don't have the azmat, the greatness of deen. And deen is not going to fall from the air. It's going to be from the man of deen. People who are regarded as the people who are carrying deen. The ulama, the huffaz, who are regarded as pious people, a haji sahab, etc. And if these people have the azmat in the eyes of the people, then people will come towards deen. And if people don't have the azmat, if they, like many people, how many places for the hafiz of Quran who hasn't got a full beard, a proper beard, people don't want to read Taraweeh behind him. And they are right in their stand that it's not permissible. He hasn't got a full beard. So because that azmat is not there, So they don't want to make tarawih behind him also. Similarly, anything else which is a deficiency in an alim, the attitude of the alim, the behavior of the alim, and people don't have that respect for that alim, they won't take deen from that person. And it comes in the hadith sharif, فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُوا دِينَكُمْ. You must see from who you take your deen. Whether that person, so we are responsible for that also. So to have, and so the people of deen, the ulama and the huffaz, all who are regarded as people of deen, leaders, immatul deen, the leaders of deen, their azmat has to be in the hearts of the people. And their azmat and respect will be if they have got the qualities of respect in them. If they have removed their bad qualities from them, they have imbibed good qualities in them, then people will respect them. Their akhlaq, how they meet people, how they speak to people, how they conduct themselves, all those things will have an effect on the people. So that is essential on the one side. On the other side, we must not want that people must respect us. So one side, we must not want that people must respect us. We must not desire that our people must praise us. People must have our honor. On the other side, we are commanded to ask for our praises. Thana'i khalq, which is a tafsir of hasana fid dunya. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. One tafsir of it is that thana'i khalq, that people must praise us. So one side we must not have the desire, the other side we are commanded to ask for the praises of people. Similarly, in the hadith sharif, we are commanded to ask, وَاجْعَلْنِي فِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ كَبِيرًا, and make me big in the eyes of the people. So yes, it appears there is an apparent contradiction, that the one side we must not even have the desire that people must praise us, people must speak good about us, people must think good about us. On the other side, we are commanded to ask for it. So how is that reconciled? Very, very simple. It is that when we were this that we are asking for praises of the people, and that we must be big in the eyes of the people, must not be for ourselves, must be for the sake of deen. It must not be for ourselves, it must be for the sake of deen. For ourselves, it is totally prohibited. For the sake of deen, people must respect the ulama. People must respect the huffaz. People must respect all those who are regarded as leaders, like the mutawallis of the town, who have got matters of deen in their hand. People must respect them. So it was, and but it mustn't be for their own personal sake. If it is for their own personal sake, then even if they haven't got good qualities, it means still you must respect them. But when it is for deen, then for deeni qualities you will respect them. Now how will a person know whether I want my respect for myself or I want it for the sake of deen? That is also quite easily, which a person, if other people of deen are respected, they are praised, he won't feel offended because it is for deen. But if it is for himself, then he feel offended. Why are the others being praised? Why are the people listening to the other ulama? Why are they going towards them? Why are they not coming towards me? Then he will realize that now it is not for the sake of deen, because that person is also calling to deen. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And whose word can be better than that person? Person's word who calls towards Allah. And when in calling, making da'wat, we have to see. Here also there is that fine line. That are we calling to ourselves or are we calling towards Allah? We might be saying, I'm calling towards Allah, but we are our bayan, people must praise my bayan. People must say that you make very good bayan and you give very good examples, you do this. So in that case, you are calling towards yourself, you are not calling towards Allah. And what is required is that you must be calling towards Allah. And this can be understood also quite easily, which, like in what is called a democracy in countries, governments of democracy, you have various parties in there, different parties. So if all those parties are working for the country and for the people of the country, then even if another group does something good, they will support them, they won't oppose them. That is what is supposed to be a proper democracy. But if you are not working for the country and for the people of the country, you are working for your party, then you will oppose anything which any other party does. That we must be doing, only we must be doing the good. Like the kuffar of Makkah, they used to say that if there is any good, it must come in our share. We are the controllers here of Kaaba Sharif also. Everything we control, nobody else can do anything. And unfortunately, many people have got that attitude in our town. Deen's work only we do. Nobody else is allowed to do it. If somebody else wants to do it, we oppose them. That we have taken the contract of deen. Whereas Allah hasn't given the contract of deen to anyone. Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi jazawumullah khair used to say that if you are doing deen's work in your town, in your area, and somebody else comes and does deen's work, if you are sincere, you'll make his shukriya. You made our burden lighter now. And the example that he gave, if there is a janaza going, unknown person, a person who is nobody, he's got no family or anything. Now, and the Qabristan is far, and people are carrying their janaza, four people are carrying it. If somebody else comes and says, can I also get some sawab? You'll be so happy that I'm carrying it already so long, I'm sweating. You please, you come and you take sawabs. You join in here. So if we are doing deen's work for sawab, for Allah's pleasure, and somebody else come, we will say, please brother, you join. You have made my burden lighter. But if we are doing it for our name, for our fame, or if we have opened a shop in the name of deen, and we are doing business in the name of deen, then business people don't want another person to come open a shop nearby. And they get very angry, why you started this business here. So if we are doing business in the name of deen, then we will get offended. And that also, there are limits. One is, you are a human being, you might feel offended. But how far do you go? Do you start now backbiting about the other person? You plan and plot against the other person? Or all that, you try and run him down? So this is the thing, the difference. That are you doing it for deen, for Allah's pleasure, or are you doing it for your own self? That you want name, fame, you want to make money on the name of deen. Are you doing it for yourself, or are you doing it for the deen of Allah Ta'ala? So if you are doing it for Allah's deen, then even if another alim is praised, in fact you will give, marhaba, you come, mashallah, you carry on today. Allahu Akbar, at one time, when Hazrat Maulana Madani rahmatullah alayh, he was very active in politics also, in deen also, of course, mashallah, his life was for deen. So, and in Delhi, Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh was having a program at one time. And without his knowledge, Maulana Madani rahmatullah alayh was having a program in another part of Delhi. And he didn't know Maulana Ilyas is having a program either. So when the programs were about to start, they came to know. That Maulana Ilyas came to know Maulana Madani is having a program. Maulana Madani came to know Maulana Ilyas is having a program. So both of them told all their followers, today my bayan won't take place. We're going to go and listen to Maulana Madani's bayan. There he told his people, today my bayan won't take place. We are all going to listen to Maulana Ilyas's bayan. On the way they met. So this was their sincerity. Not that now, where he came now. Who told him to come make bayan here today? That was not the case. That is when there is ikhlas and when there is sincerity. So also this azmat and this praises must not be for our sake. It must be for the sake of deen. And another sign of it is, every person's condition changes also. May Allah make our condition changed for the better all the time. There is also a famous masala of the tasawwuf, whether talawwun, changing, is required, or whether jumud, you're remaining firm on one point, whether that is required. So most of the Sufi also say that steadfastness, remaining firm. But the more enlightened Sufis, they say talawwun, that the change. You change for the better, not for the worse. You don't stay on your one position, but you are becoming better and better all the time. So every person's condition also changes. Sometimes it changes for the worse also. So if you are sincere, like Sheikh Abu Abdullah Andalusi rahmatullah alayh, when he was such a great Sheikh Shibli was his murid and his khalifa, And when his condition changed, unfortunately for the worse, for a certain period, then he told all his murids, don't stay by me now. What I had, I've lost what I had. My iman also I've lost. Now you won't benefit from me. Go to somebody else. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum's one dua, that Hazrat reads, Ya Jami'u, seven times. And that means, oh, for Allah to gather the people. Then Hazrat says, Ya Allah, chitne arwah, shimal, junub, mashrik, maghrib mein hai. How many souls there are in the east, west, north, south. In sabko, jinko mere saath munasabat hai, mere saath jor dijiye. Of all this, who have got munasabat and will benefit from me, join them with me. Aur jinka mere saath munasabat nahi, to jinke saath munasabat ho, unke saath unko jor dijiye. And a person who won't benefit from me, there isn't agreement, temperament, there isn't agreement in the temperament. Then let him join where he will benefit. Then Hazrat say, ab isse barkar mein ikhlas kahan se le aao? More than this ikhlas, where must I bring from? I would like people to join me, I can make their khidmat, I have the honor of making their khidmat, like a ustad who wants plenty students, so that he gets the sawab. I have opened, so many students have studied, they doing deen's work, he's going to get the sawab, that is good. But if they're not going to benefit from me, then our ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab, many times some students used to leave, go somewhere else to complete their hifz, to go and study somewhere else. Then Hadrat used to say, let jaise rozi bhi muqaddar hai, ilm bhi muqaddar hai. Like your rozi, everyone is not going to get there from the, everyone is not going to become an engineer, everyone is not going to become a doctor, everyone is not going to open a grocery shop. And this is also Allah's wisdom. All different type of things Allah has kept. So everyone's rozi Allah has kept different and from wherever. So ilm also a person will get from wherever. In the same way our tazkiyah, our tarbiyat will be done wherever. Different people and all have got different mizaj and wherever. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum Jazawum Allah Khair. These are the things why we have become diehards for our Shaykh. Hadrat says, announces many times, any person who has become bay'at to me, but now he realizes he hasn't got munasabat with me. His temperament, his mizaj doesn't agree with me. Not that I give him permission, I command him that he must go and become bay'at to somebody else. That way he has got, where he finds that he will have munasabat. And he will benefit, he must go there. So this is what it is. Azmat of deen and the praises are required also, but not for ourselves. And in this, that if our condition changes and we still want the people to praise us, that shows now we want it for ourselves. If our condition changed for the worse. If it changed for the worse, and then we tell the murids, now please don't come here. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Not that, na'uzubillah, Hazrat's condition changed for the worse or anything, but towards the end of Hazrat's life, over and over, Hazrat should say, whoever wants to become bay'at to me now, I'm ala shatre rahil. I'm a musafir that is now put my leg already on the train. I'm going already. So how am you going to benefit from me? And I'm gone too old now. Whoever wants now, whoever has got tablighi mizaj must become now bayat to Maulana Inamul Hassan sahab. Anyone ilmi mizaj must become bayat to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood sahab, etc. Hazrat should say, now that is what is sincerity. Not that you want to have more and more murid, just you must join with me, you must come by me. No, and our Shaykh Damat Barakatum explained many times that in this line of tasawwuf, Shaykh Maqsood nahi hai. Shaykh Khuda nahi hai. Your Shaykh is not your Allah. He is not your object. Allah Maqsood hai. So if you're not finding Allah by your Shaykh, and it's not your deficiency from your side, but because you haven't got munasabat, then go to another Shaykh. But if you're not doing your ma'amulats, if your object of life has changed, you're not making your object your tazkiyah, you're not making your object to find Allah, and still you're thinking my Shaykh is not letting me reach Allah, but you're not doing your job, you're not moving in your car, you found a nice, beautiful scenery somewhere and you're just sitting there. Now you say, I got late, the sky is no good, didn't take me to my place. Now it's not the car's fault. It's your fault. You sitting there, you got busy in your dunya, and you're not making your tazkiyah, you're not making Allah your objective, so you're not moving, so then how can you reach your destination? Yes, if your car now, your car is stuck, and now you have to reach your place, and you can't reach there, you're going to get another car. You're going to phone a taxi. Come and pick me up. I can't reach my destination. So if the fault is in the car, then change your car. If the fault is in you, you're not moving. Or you're driving recklessly. You're not driving right. Then it's your fault. And you're not even moving. You don't know how to drive the car. You're putting it in reverse all the time. Or your car, there's a problem. It's only going in reverse gear. It's not going in front gear. Then there's something wrong with the car. So the praise for a person, it must not be for oneself. It must be for the deen of Allah. And that is required. That is, we are commanded to ask when we say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, how Allah give us hasana in dunya. That means that amongst the various tafsirs, one is that, oh Allah, give us praises in the eyes of the people. Similarly, understand it more clearly in the other dua, that Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Yeah, we are asking that we must become imams. And whose imams? The muttaqeen, imami muttaqeen. So, Hadhrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi explained, every parent in the house is the imam, especially the father, he is the final head. So he is the imam. What this dua really means, make my children muttaqi, make them pious. I am the imam, so I'll be imamul muttaqeen. So in the same way, like in our congregation, a person, he makes this dua that, oh Allah, make me the imam in my congregation of pious people. So what will it mean? It will mean, make my people who come to my masjid, make them all pious. So I'll be imamul muttaqeen. If they are all people who are taking taha and taking drugs and who are alcoholics, then you will be imamul alcoholic and imamul druggies. You'll be their imam. So instead of them, make them pious people. So I'll be the imam of the pious people. So yeah, also we are commanded to ask for imamat. And whose imamat? Imamat of the muttaqeen, of the pious people. Of the muttaqi we are commanded here. But again, in the same way, it's not for us, it is for the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So that is very, very important. That is a very important lesson. When many people feel that if you are being praised, then this is now your destruction. Now, if you are being praised for the sake of deen, then if deen is going to benefit, then that is matloob, that is maqsood, that is required. And if you want praises for yourself, and the distinction you can make out now, whether I want this praises for me, or whether I want it for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And for the deen of Allah, to praise the ulama, to respect and honor the ulama, is farz-e-ain. It is one of the most important farais. Then only will the vehicle of deen move forward. In the same way, all people of deen, in whatever position, category they hold of deeni matters, their respect for the sake of deen is absolutely essential. Only then will deen move forward. But it must not be for our own sake, it must be for the sake of deen. So then we come now to the other very important point, and that is, if it is for our own sake. So this is the thought that we have to keep Rosa from, that is that takabbur, pride now. That I am better than the other people. So yeah, also we can see clearly that this pride is not for the sake of deen, but what is this pride when it is for ourselves? That I am better than this, I am more greater. This is totally haram. And this comes in a person very easily. And it comes on various things. And the same thing, the ujab also. There's two things. Ujab is that you think, you don't think bad of other people, but you think yourself that I am pious. And this also is that the other people must respect and honor the people of deen, but they themselves must realize we are not worthy of anything. For the sake of deen, then when alim also, for example, you are going somewhere in jamaat or you are traveling and you are four or five people, you are the only alim. Then for a time of masala, once Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib, Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was traveling in the train, and some friends started giving some masalas. So Mufti Sahib then told them that, bhai, fatwa ka theka maine abhi kisi aur ko nahi diya. The work of giving fatwa, I haven't given that position to anyone else. I'm the Mufti. I will give the fatwa. In that case, this is not pride. And if a person just allows anyone else also to give fatwas, we can realize what chaos is going to result. People haven't got knowledge and they are giving fatwas. So there, similarly, you are traveling, you're the alim. And now somebody else is insisting he wants to make imamate. And you the one, your qiraat is correct, you reading correctly. So there it is your faraz, even if he's on the musalla of the imam. Brother, you come back, I'll make imamate. Yeah, it is not that for your sake you want the imamate. But in order to establish deen properly, you are the one, according to hadith and fiqh, you are entitled to make imamate. There if you think you are making tawadu, it will be mudahanat. Tawadu, humbleness. There is another alim, mashallah, you go forward, you must make namaz. Then you don't have that I must make. Somebody else is a good reader, he's an alim also, you go in front. But when there isn't anyone, then you, it's your duty that you see that you go in front. Somebody else is giving masalas, he's not an alim, he doesn't know anything about deen, he's in some other field. One time, about poetry. Our Mir Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he had said some poetry. So one other person corrected Mir Sahib. So, and Hadrat was also present. So Mir Sahib told him, what you know about poetry? You sell bicycles, you go and sell bicycles. You repair bicycles and you sell bicycles. What you know about poetry? So if somebody doesn't know that field, he hasn't got the right even to give his opinion. But the person who has got it, there it isn't tawadu. There it will be mudahanat if you don't. And it won't be for your sake again. That you are making imamate, it is for deen's sake. If it is for your sake, now there are two alims, and you insist you want to make imamate, so then it is for your sake you are doing it. Now it isn't for deen's sake. So to understand this is a very, very essential thing, and especially for the ulama to understand this, which Allah give our Shaykh Jazai Khair by Hazrat's Barakat, Alhamdulillah, and Hazrat's teachings, and these are predominantly the teachings of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah. In this, for example, one person went to a great Shaykh many years ago, a very great Shaykh in India, to become bay'at. The Shaykh put his shoes straight. This person ran away from there. He says that if you're going to make more khannas in my head, you're going to make me feel more VIP, how is my Islam going to take place? I need the Shaykh who will tell me to put his shoes straight. Then I will, my nafs islah will be made. But if the Shaykh is going to make this khidmat of the murids, and he is going to do this, then that murid is going to think, I'm a big buzurg. Look at such a big buzurg. He is making my khidmat. So I'm a very big buzurg. I'm more bigger than him also. That he is making my, so when will his islah be made? And when will his nafs be kuchal jayega? When will his nafs be crushed? If he is going to think that he is such a big, and this buzurg is making my khidmat. Therefore, there is a great difference between a buzurg and a sheikh. To be a sheikh is somebody else, to be a buzurg is somebody else. It can be together, mashallah, nurun ala nur. Just like to understand, to teach 5-year-old children, and you get a professor from the university, his knowledge, how much knowledge has he got on that field? But where will he be able to teach that 5-year-old children? And you get one lady from the neighborhood. She will do a much more better job teaching that 5-year-old. She hasn't got even a one bit of the knowledge of what the professor in the university has got. But to teach children is not the work of a big professor. There you need a person who knows child psychology. And a woman knows that the best. Because she deals with children all the time. She will be able to teach those children much more easier than what that big professor will be able to do. So like that, you can be a great buzurg, but if you don't know how to make tarbiyat, you will fail in making the tarbiyat of your murids. On the other hand, you might not be such a big buzurg, but you know how to make tarbiyat. You take another example. A doctor might be himself not health conscious. He smokes. He takes drugs also. You get such doctors. He's drinking liquor also. But as far as treating a patient, he stops. He knows how to treat a patient. And don't look that the doctor is taking drugs and he's smoking and he's having alcohol. What treatment he's giving and what he's prescribing, follow that, you'll get your shifa. And on the other hand, there are many people who are very health conscious, but they won't be able to treat another person. They haven't got that knowledge. They haven't studied in that field. They haven't got that knowledge. They can't. So the same way, a sheikh and a buzurg are two different also. And many of us, we look for buzurgi. Look for a sheikh. When you want your tarbiyah done, don't look so much for buzurgi. Look for a sheikh, a person who can make your tarbiyah. Like for example, in many khanqas, the main object is ibadah. Whereas from Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, jazahumullah khair's teaching, we learn that ibadah is not the object. The object is that you must your islah, giving up of sin. That is what is required. Similarly, in many khanqas, what will be the talks? Not of the bimari, of the illness which is amongst the people sitting there, of the illness of people who are not here. Like we talk, for example, a lot about drugs. Now, there are no drug addicts here. We don't need it. You need the treatment of the people who are sitting here. You put your finger on the pulse and see who you are treating, what is his bimari. So therefore, many people don't like these talks, because this is hard for the nafs. To make ibadah, the nafs enjoys it. For 30 days, we'll make lot of ibadah. And all, mashallah, he was so pious, Ramzan, how he spent it. After that, again, go watch TV, mix with women, sit with them, joke with them, talk with them, any and all women, everything. Just carry on with your life again as it was. But you made lot of ibadah. No, that is not the object also. For your own bimari, you have to catch your own bimari and treat your bimari. It's no use. You go to a doctor and you say, you know where I come from, those people there, what they've got so bad habits, smoking, and their lungs will be finished, and this will be bad. They have so much of sweet things, their sugar will be so high. And doctor also speaks, hey, those people are very bad. You feel, no, I'm all right. I'm good. But your bimari, you haven't touched your bimari. Get your own bimari, what your problem is. Don't worry what other people's problems are. So that is a person who will come here, for example, by our sheikh's khanqa, and he comes for ibadat, he'll find he has come to the wrong place. He'll think that here in this khanqa, many people say also, yeah, I don't see all the people making tahajjud, and I don't see all the people making tilawat all the time, and zikr all the time. That you won't find here. Don't look for it here. If you want that, go to somewhere else. You'll find that somewhere else. And also, if you come here, many people say our sheikh only bad nazri. That is the bimari of the time. It's an epidemic of the time. And when there is an epidemic, and you go and treat people with flu, and people are all suffering in heart problem or in cancer and something, and you worried about the people who got colds, running noses, and you are worried. No, at that time, treat the bimari of the time, what is there at that time. So what our bimari? One is this bad nazri. This other very serious bimari of takabbur and pride. Today a person hasn't got anything, but he's got pride in him. Hardly does anything about deen. He hardly knows about deen, but he's got pride. I'm all right. I'm very pious. So this is a serious disease, a terrible serious spiritual disease. And because of this, how many people making ghibat all the time, making ghibat of ulama? And this is the bimari that causes us to criticize other people, finding fault in ulama, finding fault in other people, and that has become our hobby now. And in Ramzan, this hobby even more, to find fault in other people. So what is the cause of this? This is pride. That when we feel we are more better, we are more superior. So this is a bimari that has to be treated. And today we just spent Ramzan a little bit. We kept our rozas, we made our khatam, etc. There we are asking everyone, you made your khatam finish. How many suparas you read? How far are you? Just because we are little bit now we are making, and now we're taking stock of everyone else. We are judges already. And we are in charge of all other people already. So this is a very common thing. So, this thought that comes to a person, that I am better than other people, that is also totally haram. And it is for this reason, where in the khanqa, a person must make khidmat also. Whether it is here, or whether it is when we go on safar. How many of our friends also, we go on safar, the person who is hosting, the person who has come now, the sheikh, Hazrat, So he is making his khidmat. All others also sitting like big hazrats. All also waiting now for my khidmat and giving orders also. Do this, do that, do that. They also giving all orders. Now till we don't break our nafs and we also make khidmat. And therefore what is called jutiya seedi karna. Doesn't literally mean you just put the shoe straight. It means making khidmat of the shaykh. Until then nafs does not break. Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair, who is a buzurg also of the highest position, and who is a Shaykh also of the highest position. Many times when we are by Hazrat, Hazrat calls, come, you press my legs. And this is like Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, went to Makkah Sharif where his Shaykh was Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah. And Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, unka nanka pitra tha pure Hindustan. He is shohrat, he is fame. Wherever we went, Hadrat, Hadrat, everywhere. So when he came to Makkah Sharif, his Shaykh wanted to see him, whether this has gone to his head or what. So he brought his food, not even in a plate. On the roti, he put the tarkari, and not even sitting on a dastarkhan, he just gave him how you'll give a bag of food. Like that, he just gave me a kalo, and he watched his face. That has he got an effect. Everywhere, big, big dastarkhan. And because of him, another 20, 30, 50, 100 people are invited. The best of food, let me see now whether this has gone to his head or what. So Hazrat just gave him food, just on a roti, and he just put some tarkari on top, and like a beggar, he said, you sit here and you just eat it here. Then he saw that no change came on his. And what I get from my Shaykh, Allahu Akbar, this is better than all what I get on the other, the dastarkhans of wealthy, wealthy people. What my Shaykh has given me, the simple food, that is more better. So that is that it must never go to our head. And like this, when we prepare ourselves, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, going for Eid namaz. And as he's going, a woman threw ash down from the house from on top. And it fell on him on Eid day after he made ghusl, where he wore his clean clothes. And he's the sheikh. He's going to be performing the Eid namaz. And all the ash fell on him. Immediately he said, Ya Allah, shukr of yours. That I was such that actually fire should have fallen on me. You have been so kind, only ash fell on me. Actually, I am such that fire should have fallen on me. So what comes out spontaneously, that is the thing. And when a person makes it up, that is nothing. That is his own story, that afterwards now, then he changes his words and he says it like this, this is nothing. Once in the masjid, a lightning struck and it was moving in the masjid. And an announcement was made that this lightning is appointed for one person. So whoever it is, it's going to get that one person. And the rest of the people will be saved. So all the people, They started going out one by one. They all went out. Finally, the imam was left. The lightning was for him. And what the imam thought, how can it be for me? It must be for one of the other people. But it was meant for him. Once in the masjid, announcement was made. The one who is the worst in the masjid must go out of the masjid. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi was the first to stand up and he walked out. Immediately he walked out that I am the worst. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that a person hasn't got the right to make bayan until he does not realize, not think, until he does not realize he is the worst of all the people. Then he'll be able to make khidmat of the people. But when he thinks, I'm going to give it to them, I'm going to leather them today, I'm going to give it to them hard and solid, I'm going to knock them properly today, that person, he needs knocking himself. He hasn't got anything in himself. He hasn't got the right even to make bayan. So this tawadu has to come in a person. But, and this takabbur, this is, it will destroy a person completely. Also, one treatment for this, which our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum Jazawumullah Khair has taught, that there are two things. One is takabbur, pride, which is haram, which will take a person to Jahannam. And the other one is tashakkur, to make shukr. And whenever you feel one easy treatment, whenever you feel takabbur is coming in me, that now I feel that I'm getting too big now, my head is being bloated, I'm feeling too big now, then just make tashakkur. Because the two ijtima is ziddain mahal. For the two opposite things at one time to be in the same place is impossible. For it to be light and dark at the same time in the same place is impossible.
For a person to have knowledge and ignorant on one masala, the same masala, and at the same time, the same place, is impossible. It's one of the two. So you just make tashakkur. And tashakkur means that, Ya Allah, everything belongs to you. You, whatever it is, whatever work of deen you have taken, today I read Taraweeh, and I read so beautifully, not one mistake also. And alhamdulillah, I read properly with tajweed. Ya Allah, all your shukr. So takabbur won't come in that person. But the minute you think, I did it, it was my effort, my work, that you will be destroyed. And one easy way, read one dua after every amal. We should read 5 duas. There's one of the 5 duas, Alhamdulillahilladhi bihi tatimmus salihat. Whatever good you did, you taught whole of Bukhari Sharif, you taught, you made a child hafiz, Ya Allah, by your, Alhamdulillahilladhi bihi. That all praise is due to Allah through whom, by whom, tatimmus salihat. This good action has been completed today. That it wasn't my doing, you did it. You alone. And for a simple example in this, look at Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the conquest of Makkah. When after how many years of mujahada, what and what Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through. When he's entering Makkah Sharif victoriously, what is his dua? Alhamdulillah alladhi hazam al-ahzaba wahda. Was it starting? صدق الله وعده ونصر عبده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده و so all praise. And Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head was down on the camel at that time. He didn't pick it up high, he kept it down at that time, that Ya Allah, I am nothing. So that is what a person, when deen will come into him, he'll go more humble. That is a clear sign to see whether by ibadat, abdiyat, humility has come into us, or by ibadat we became a Fir'aun and we became a shaitan ourselves. And then we think now that all, they do this for me, do that for me, giving this order, giving that order, that I've done this, that the person is not on the right road. He's in the right car, but the car is not going in the right direction. He's making ibadat, but his ibadat is taking to Jahannam. A person's tahajjud can take him to Jahannam. Right? And also see, pride can come into a person for anything. One of our students wrote an article that about the Amama, and he said that Amama cannot bring pride in a person. Whereas I usually speak to the students, and I say that if wearing your Amama, pride comes into you, then don't wear the Amama. That is now going to harm you. So he said pride cannot bring, because somebody told him that sunnat cannot bring pride in you. How can an act of sunnat bring pride in you? So I called him and I spoke to him and I told him, see what Allah Ta'ala says, that Allah says to the Sahaba with regard to jihad, when jihad was farz-e-ayn, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ, in the battle of Hunain, that when أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ, pride came into you because of your huge numbers. So huge numbers in jihad is a good quality. To have more people going in jihad is a good quality. But that same thing brought pride in you. Allah Ta'ala gave temporary, what a defeat to the Muslims. How they were shattered. And the rumors went that even Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become shaheed. What new conditions of Muslim? Just because that little bit pride came in some of the Sahaba. From here we learn another thing, that our gunas, the effect don't fall on us only. Others also suffer the consequences. Some of the Sahaba, all didn't. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worth. Where did any, na'uzu billah, pride come in Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In Hazrat Abu Bakr, in Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, where did any pride? Some of the Sahaba, they spoke and they said, we are such huge numbers, no defeat can come to us today. From here there is again another very important point, that don't think I'm pious, that's why nothing can go wrong in my life. This naz that a person has, this is a very terrible thing, which is also pride. Naz is also pride. That I do so much, I read my wazifas, I do this, nothing can go wrong in my life. No, never have that. We are faqirs of Allah Ta'ala. And registered faqirs. Where Allah Ta'ala said, Ya Yuhannas Antumul Fuqara. There is Jumla Ismiya. And that means your name is in the register of the fuqara, and your name can't come out from there. Allah put your name. You are registered by Allah Ta'ala. You go and register your name. You go and some patent thing you do. You go and register it. That you have done. By Allah, Allah registered to you as fuqara. Now where are you going to be Agniya? And where are you going to that you are independent? No, you are 100% dependent on Allah. If this reality is coming to a person, inshallah, no pride will come into that person. But today our condition is, just little bit we did something, and we feel that we are so big. We gave a little bigger donation in the masjid. Now I'm the boss of the masjid. And everyone must listen to me now. In a madrasa, all they have to listen. And people, then how they treat the ulama? So they treat them like servants, because they are paying their wages. No, no, if you are there, just that you are doing, you must, if you are writing a 10 million rand check, on check number 246, and the check page starts posting, I'm worth 10 million. I'm so valuable. Then, as usually when that happens, you'll make a mistake. Now when you made a mistake, you'll have to cancel that check. It mustn't happen. We get cancelled by Allah Ta'ala. That we think that I'm worth now so much and I'm so valuable. And if Allah have to say, no, you made a mistake, this page is cancelled now. And they're not only cancelled, torn out, crushed into pulp and thrown away in the burn. Allah mustn't throw us out. And this happens when pride comes in a person. A person who writes out a check of 10 million, usually such people, they've got how many pens on their desk? Whichever pen he chooses and he writes it, and that pen starts boasting. Let's say, I wrote the check of 10 million. Then what will you say? That person, he could use any other pen. He had 10 pens in front of him. It's not the pen, it's the person who is writing the check. So if Allah is using you for the sake of deen, for ibadat, for anything, don't you feel that I'm the one. Allah can easily put you one side and choose another person. And this happens also. That's how many times a person who was so pious, he dropped right down. And a person who was in the gutters came right on top. And this happens from day to day. So therefore, this pride will destroy a person. Never have this pride. And this pride, which is takabbur also, that I'm better than other people. And this pride, which is ujab also, that others are also good, I'm also good. Just that I think I'm good. Nek banna faraz hai. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. To think I am nek, to think I'm all right, this is haram. And such a person, you take a ball and you throw it up. But how much power and force you throw it through it, and what kind of size ball, the weight of it, according to that, it will go up. It will keep on moving up. And the minute it reaches its climax, it reaches the height of it, it will never stop there. Immediately it starts coming down again. So if a person thinks that now I'm all right, that person will never progress and go further. From here, there are three types of people. One is a qani', who is a person who is satisfied with his condition. One is a naqid, a criticizer. And one is a talib, he will go further. Tomorrow we will discuss this. And also, if I forget, that how conditions of people change. While a person was very good and he looked down upon somebody, how that person came good and how he went right down. So inshallah tomorrow we'll carry on with that. So there is a very, very important thing, very essential. If we can just get that, we have done a great favor to ourselves. That this humility, humbleness, no matter, try and become the most, excel greatly in everything. But excel in thinking, not thinking, realizing, I'm still nowhere. I'm still nothing whatsoever in my knowledge, in my piety, in whatever I do, I've done nothing still. If that comes into a person, then alhamdulillah, he has achieved quite a bit. May Allah give us the reality and make our Islah mukammal Islah.